I really believe that. You know, the last line of that song that David just talked about was God's will. And his refining fire, ready to do his will, and his will is that his people seek him and spend time seeking him through his word and hearing his word and in fellowship. So I just want to give you an encouragement that it's the middle of the week, and I know we celebrate hump day because we're halfway through the work week, but there's a much, much bigger reason and cause for celebration. And so the fact that you're here, I just want to tell you that it's a real blessing to me, and it's a blessing to your brothers and sisters who are here with you. So thank you for being here. Let's stand and read from the Word of God. Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You can be seated. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have a little bit of a discussion, okay? Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that you've drawn your children here to hear from you today. I thank you that we have an opportunity to come to this place and lift your name in praise and be with those we call family. We thank you that this is a place that we seek restoration. We seek purification. We seek the Lord. And I thank you that when we come here together for a purpose, you give us exactly what it is that we need. And I pray that tonight that we all receive what it is that we long for, and that's to be pure in heart, to be set apart for you, our master, ready to do your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So first I want to start with, just in our discussion, thanking you for your prayers. Some of you know that I've had a few health challenges recently, and I'm thankful that your prayers are my health is not contingent upon your prayers, but I thank you for them anyway. Because, you know, the Bible says that where two or three are gathered in agreement, that his will is done. Well, you know what's funny about family is that when I get my four children together, well, really two of them, when they get together and they're telling me they agree about something, they're going to tell me they agree, but you know what? I can tell real quick that they really don't. And then you get them to go to try to do something, and then you can immediately see that they're not agreeing. They said they were going to agree and they were going to get it done, but they didn't. Because, see, there's powerlessness and disagreement. And the beauty of our prayer is that God's will be done, because he knows what we need better than we do. That is such a reassuring thing, to know that we lift our prayers, and when we pray amiss, or we pray wrong, or our heart isn't pure, or something's off, or something's amiss, God still knows. And he still does exactly what he does, because he's a good and a faithful father. Your prayers are important, though. They're very important, and I just want to thank you for them. But we're a dysfunctional family like every other one. Speaking of pure in heart, let's talk to I'm going to ask for your participation for a minute. Who here owns a car? Raise your hand. We all own a car, right? Well, not all of us. Mark, did you ride a bike to church today? No, you okay? It's funny. I see more pictures of Mark on a bike than I see him in any other way. So what are some filters that you might find in a car?
Air.
Yeah.
Oil.
Air, oil, coolant, fuel, exhaust. These are all filters, right, we find in a car. How about in a house? Who has a house? All right, we've all got houses. Nobody lives in a tent. Okay. If you do, make sure that you see me after church, please. What are some filters that you have in your house? You have an air purifier, a water filter. I heard that, water filter. Who has an ionizer? A coffee filter, a good one, Barry. So some of us have ionizers. How about a UV filter? Anybody got a UV filter? So UV. Who has a pool? You know, you've got these things in your pool called a skimmer. I know a little bit about those. Pool filter, chlorinator. How about some filters in our body? Yeah. Lung, pancreas. I didn't have that one written down. Thank you for that. Is that a filter? I think it is. Lungs, kidney. You don't have a skimmer on your body. Disregard that. Nix that from the tape. Scratch that. Lungs, kidney, liver, blood. Blood, right? What do we do to purify our body? What are some things that we do? Drink water. You know what's, you know, the latest thing is clean eating. I got to eat cleaner. How about fasting? No. Fasting. That's a thing, though, right now, right? There's all kinds of deals about intermittent fasting, and it's a thing right now. Organic foods. Okay. So filters are meant to do what? To clean out impurities, right? We're familiar with all kinds of filters, but what's the difference in being filtered and purified? Purified, a purifier just sounds better, doesn't it? Well, technically, because it is. I mean, a filter is technically a way to remove impurities, but a purification process ensures it. In our text, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are pure in heart, they shall see God." Can we see God? Can we see God? It's a good question. It's an honest question. It's a difficult question. It's a question that I think we as Christians often get asked by unbelievers. And sometimes even as believers, we kind of pause for a minute. So go to John 14:21 with me. And I'm just going to encourage you to write this down. Memorize it. John 14:21. "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him." Right after that, Judas says, "Well, how are you going to show yourself to us and not to the world?" And then Jesus goes on to elaborate. But the thing is I'm not going to answer that question for you. I just want to encourage you to let the scriptures answer it for you. Can we ever see God? Well, the scripture says, "Blessed are those who are pure in heart. They shall see God." Is that now? Past? Future? What does it mean for you? Okay. It's a good question. So, what is the filter? What is the purifier of your heart? What purifies your heart? What's the filter? God's Word. Is it important to be pure in heart as a Christian? So, what are some common answers to what's the filter, what's the purifier? Grace, the Word of God, the cross, the blood of Jesus. I'm sure the answers that we all would give somebody for that, none are necessarily wrong, but certainly some are going to be more faithfully true. So how do I purify my heart, Brad? How does that happen? Why should I? Some of us, don't we feel like we're too far gone? So have you ever walked into something that you know that you've got to clean or purify let's just take my garage, for instance. Have you ever walked into a place and the minute you walk in, you're going, yeah, not going to happen? You know, sometimes, I mean, it's funny, but we honestly feel that way about our heart. We feel like, man, this thing is so messed up. Even when I do everything that I can, everything that I try to do, every effort that I make, even when I try to just get alone with God and pray, read His Word, extend grace, whatever it is, those things that we try to do, we just feel, man, this thing is so messed up. I just purify my heart. Let me be as gold, silver, pure gold. It's an honest cry. It's a sincere one. I think it's one as Christians we don't ask for often enough. But everything comes from there. You know, I was at a doctor the other day, and we're talking about doing some testing, some EEG things, and it's a measure of brain waves, and it talks about waves. And so just out of curiosity, I like to read up on stuff. And did you know that your body can survive when your brain is like literally flatlined? Your body can still actually function? I didn't realize that. But your body can't do anything once the heart stops beating. Thought that was kind of interesting. So how do I purify my heart? How does that happen? Why should I? I'm too far gone. It's too difficult. Yeah, right, Brad. Whatever. We all try to be pure. Well, why? Will that really help me see God? Well, I thought you bet that I was going to answer you. God is the author of the answers. He is the truth. He is the maker of order and perfection, and He will never leave anyone with anxiety. He will never leave you guessing. He will never leave you without answers. He will never leave you without a way to see and trust that He is who He says He is. So in our text, purity is so often presented as sexual purity. I'm sure that you've come across that before. You know, purity is a big thing amongst teenagers, amongst young people. And purity gets talked about in a lot of ways that aren't necessarily... Now, don't get me wrong. In that context, it's pure, and I mean, it's right and it's true, but it really dilutes the fullness and can confuse the heart of the matter that Jesus is discussing here. So we're going to discuss what His Word says and expound just a bit on this topic of a pure heart, a heart of pure gold. It's my prayer that you receive whatever you may need for understanding. You know, Pastor, this past Sunday was talking, we're in Jeremiah on Sundays, and Jeremiah is talking to the Jewish people, and he's, right now we've gone through a lot of discussion about judgment for false worship and just a lot of difficult things, and Jeremiah's putting it on the folks, man. He's saying this isn't going to stand. You're going to have to figure it out. You're worshiping false gods. You're God's people, and these are the things that you're doing. And we're in that chapter 17 right now, and it's talking about how deceitful and wicked our hearts are, that we can't even know that. We try to figure it out, but God is the searcher of hearts. He knows our heart even better. It says, as a matter of fact, it says, a heart's desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? Well, God knows it. And so through this reading that we're doing about Jeremiah, Pastor expounded a little bit on a book that we have here in the bookstore. I can't remember the name of it or who it was by, but it was talking about Be This Way. Warren Wisby? So it's Be This Way to, you know, he's talking about this particular church, be this way. And I think it kind of struck me that he was saying that, because when he said that, I was thinking, you know, that has a little bit to do with the message that I'm going to be reading from tonight, because the text that blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see the kingdom of God, comes from the Beatitudes, or the Sermon on the Mount. And he said pastor said it was written about being with certain attitudes, certain characteristics. And though I haven't read the book, I can almost assure you there will be strong reference to the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes in that book. I would have to think that there is. We've heard all the expressions that we're used to using, that attitude determines altitude. Let's just be honest. People with crummy attitudes, we don't want to be around them. Right? So if you're an employer, it's very likely that, or a manager, or any kind of supervisor, it's very likely that you've said, you know what, I'll take somebody who has a great attitude over somebody who's very talented. If they've got a good attitude, hey, I got something to work with. Well, the Beatitudes. The Sermon on the Mount from which our text comes has been called the Manifesto of the King. It is an outline of behavior for the citizens of the kingdom of God. You know, in some other books that I've read, it talks about how the kingdom of God, a group of people, if it's a kingdom, they emulate the characteristics or the attitude of the king, right? So this has been called the Manifesto of the King. Well, who's our king? Should we not emulate his characteristics? Should we not emulate his attitude? As one of the many passages by Jesus, it presents important moral or ethical teachings. It is not a message on salvation, as is in John 3, neither is it on the work of the Holy Spirit, as in John 16. Rather, it is a message on a lifestyle for the new creation, those who are born of the Spirit. A set-apart people. Our last worship song tonight, again, I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my Lord, ready to do your will. Purify my heart. Let it be as gold, pure gold. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount outlines the kind of life which is expected of the new community of faith. However, it is not a legalistic formula, but rather this message calls the members of the kingdom to faith in every area of their life. A set apart people, born again, born of the Spirit of God. There's so much there, but there's 11 words that we read tonight in that text. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. When is the last time that you asked God to purify your heart? I mean, honestly. Just take time and ask him to purify your heart. I want to see you. Isn't it comforting that he gave us a scripture? Take it for the way that you will. Here's what it means to me. I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. And you know what I'm going to expect? That I'm going to see you. Thank you, Jesus. 14:21. Those who have my commandments and they do them are those who love me, And those who love me are loved by my Father. And you know, the good news is you can go, you can even take that one step further and go into Revelation. There's several chapters, there's several scriptures in Revelation that back that up. Revelation 3:20. And if you want to look at those when you have an opportunity, and Revelation 21:3 talks about him and Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah, and the Father coming and making their abode with you. They come and they live with you. They're with you. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount outlines a kind of life which is expected of the new community. However, it's not a legalistic formula, but rather this message that calls the members of the kingdom to faith in every area of life. How is that? How hard is that? It's hard. Faith, the last message that I gave up here was talking about faith, and faith without works is dead, and faith isn't faith without action, and a formula of faith that it requires, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and faith is, man, every area of life, income, health, finances, future, hope, eternal life. You know, it's interesting that the kids were up here and there was hearts everywhere. God's beautiful. He did that. We're talking about a new heart. We're talking about a life of faith. We're talking about purify my heart. And he puts like the kids that their hearts are still pure. Praise God. Unpolluted by a bunch of mess that we've been through. But see, he makes us like children. When we are born again, we have a new life in Christ. We have new hope. We're excited. We're on fire. We love sharing our faith. We love telling the story. Right? Am I by myself? Hello. I'm trying to keep you awake. Matthew in this particular gospel presents Jesus as the Messiah of word and deed. The composition of the Sermon on the Mount has often been regarded as Matthew's most important contributions and his incorporation of it in his gospel. Folks, it is a heart issue. Everything, when he came, it was a heart issue. They thought they had it all figured out. Moses came, gave them some laws. You study the Old Testament, you see how it all plays out. And Jesus didn't do anything to take that away. He came to fill it fully because he was full of God. And he filled that fully. And the whole point of it was that he was telling his disciples, listen, everything that's wrong is the heart. And he would call them out on their mess. You know, it's funny how you talk about being an adulterer. How about your eyes, buddy? What about you checking out that woman over there? Anything like that? Yeah, you talk about a murderer. What about your brother that you have an offense against and you haven't handled it yet? It's a heart issue. These are tough things. They're tough because the reality is picking up a cross and following Jesus is a life of sacrifice because love is sacrifice. But you know what? That blessed hope gives us joy, all the fruit of the Spirit, because now the life that we live by the Spirit, right? And in Galatians 5, he talks about the things that we receive when we walk that life. We hear these things, but we hear them. We hear them, but do we ask God, purify my heart? Let me be as gold. Let me read this to you. The sermon, as recorded by Matthew, incorporates excerpts of numerous messages that Jesus gave, recalled by Matthew, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit to give us an authentic presentation of the teachings of Jesus. It is a coherent, orderly sermon. While Jesus is the fulfillment of a long line of preparation, he is the culmination of God's revelation. And he, as God with us, is the ultimate expression of the will of God. Let me be pure as gold, ready to do your will. Matthew is the gospel of teaching of Jesus. He might have chosen to have written an epistle to the church of his time, but by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, he wrote a gospel. Matthew has been called the fivefold gospel because of the five major presentations of Jesus' teachings. As has been pointed out, there are sometimes referred to as five books. and are outlined as follows. 5:1-7 is righteousness. 10:5-42 is his mission. 13:3-52 is his kingdom. 8:3-35 is his church. And 23:1-25 is his parousia. Yeah, I know. It's the coming back of Jesus. I'll just, yeah. In the text, we are merely looking at verse 1 of the first of the five, the message or book on righteousness. Through the years, scholars have recognized in this sermon a collection of Jesus' teachings as a manual or of sorts, but a more widely and accepted belief is that Jesus' original purpose in giving this sermon would be that we should regard it as the way of discipleship. The way of discipleship. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, there's several of these, but this one I chose because so much of the things that I deal with, and I'm sure that you deal with, so many things that we deal with as Christians are, it's heart issue, man. God, so tough. It's because our heart is polluted and messed up. And we have to deal with it day in and day out. And our heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. And the one who looks upon our heart, the one who tells us, the one who purifies it, is God himself. And this life that we live has hope because we know that he is faithful. And we're going to get to a little bit of that because we're going to read through several scriptures. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, those of integrity, for they shall see God. When I hear the word integrity, one scripture comes to mind. And anybody who's ever spoken with me, I can tell you what it is. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word. He is one with his Word. He's a man of his Word. He has integrity. It's important that men be that way. We have a hard time with that today. We have a real difficult time with integrity. See, God was one with his Word because he took his Word seriously, and though shall we. Because remember, he's the King. That should be part of our character if we're part of the kingdom. The word pure means unmixed. This is what it means in this context, okay? That's why it's talking about gold. The word pure means unmixed, without alloy. Blessed are those with unmixed motives. Throughout the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus spoke of this integrity of commitment, being one with your word, having unmixed motives. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate, 6:24, sorry, if you want to write this down. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. And there ain't a soul in this sitting in this room that hadn't done it. There's a lot of us that still struggle with it. We choose money instead of trust God with it all the time. Leads to a double-mindedness. It leads to an instability. It leads to a mixed heart, not a pure heart. 7:13, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate, the highway to hell is broad. And its gate is wide for the many who chose that way. 7:21 says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, we cast out demons in your name, and we performed miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws, or you worker of iniquity. Purity of heart is the will, is to will one thing, a call for unmixed motives that seek only the will of God. This is the way of the disciple, and the reward is such that we shall see God. The inference and requirement is that only such actually see him. Good friend of mine, beloved brother, told me this one time. Passion. Passion is the extent of suffering that you're willing to endure to achieve your purpose. See, Jesus had a purity of heart because he willed one thing, God's will. An unmixed motive, passion, the passion of the Christ. Let me put this in context. The extent of suffering that you're willing to endure to achieve your purpose. Now put that with passion of the Christ. So how passionate are you about achieving your purpose? Because that shows the willing of suffering that you're willing to go through to achieve it. This beatitude calls us to the most exacting self-examination. Perhaps we need to examine our motives in religious exercises more than any other area. It's true. I felt guilty about not coming to church before. I felt guilty about not doing things, serving enough. I know we've all gone through it. I know we all go through it. But how easy is it to cover selfish ambition with the cloak of religious service? Do we choose areas that we want to serve rather than areas that we are commanded to in Scripture? In your going, make disciples. Throughout the sermon, Jesus raises the issue of motive, asking that we serve not for the praise of men, not for conventional respectability, but with integrity of heart, for purity, for the purpose and will of God in our lives. It has been said that in religious service, there are three temptations. I thought this was good. The first, the temptation to shine. The second, the temptation to whine. That's usually me. Just saying. And the third, the temptation to recline. You know, I had someone else tell me the other day, I think it was my beautiful wife sitting right here on my right, left-hand side here. Somebody told her, they were mentioning to her, you know, in a Christian life, you've got ups and you've got downs, and that's normal. It's almost expected. It's healthy, as a matter of fact, right? It's the flat line you need to be concerned about. Let's take a look at just a few scriptures on a matter of a pure heart, a heart of gold. Who, when you read, so I'm not going to try and inundate you with a bunch of scriptures here, but I just want to expound on some scriptures that speak specifically to the purity of heart, okay? You can write them down, you can write the scripture down and look at them later, and I'll read them to you however you want to handle it. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Mark 7:20-23. He went on, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. Psalms 51:1-2. Have mercy on me, O God. According to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. There's those of us who walk into a room and walk into the garage and go, it ain't happening, not today. There's some of us that go home at night and we pray and we go, not today, I'm too filthy. This is what the word says. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just and he will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. It says he will forgive us and purify us. James 4:8. Come near, O God, and he will come near to you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. You're double-minded. Ephesians 5, 25 through 26. Husbands, oh, this is a good one. Pay attention, man. Wake up, it's warm, I know, get up. We're going to get out of here in about 15 more minutes. Listen, this is a good one. This changed my life. I'm serious. It changed my life. Did it not, Tyra? Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the word. If you don't know the word, you're failing. Get busy. You got a wife to cleanse. It'll change your life too, man. You having a problem with your wife? Let me tell you something. It's you. It ain't her. Get in the word. Isaiah 1:16. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. I love Isaiah. He just says it how it is. That's like I love Jeremiah. I love all the prophets, as a matter of fact. But this is good. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Love that. Of course, I wasn't there when he said it, but 1 John 3, 2 through 3, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. All those who have that blessed hope. Hear that. But when we know when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves. Faith. Acts 22:16. And now what are you waiting for? Get up! Be baptized and wash your sins away, calling on his name. 1 Peter 3:21. And this water symbolizes baptism, now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from your body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Daniel 12:10. Many will be purified, made spotless, and refined. But the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand. But those who are wise will understand. Titus 2:14. Who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Purify my heart. Make me as pure gold, ready to do your will. John 15:3, you are already clean because, I'm going to start over. John 15:3, you are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. These scriptures, hear me. These scriptures illustrate the work of a thrice holy God. That's what these scriptures illustrate. The work of a thrice, three-time, Holy Father, Holy Son, Holy Spirit. Holy, redeeming, exhorting, encouraging words that bring faith, that leads to purity. He who are pure in heart are blessed, for they shall see God. Here holiness and blessings are fully described and put together. The heart must be purified by faith and kept for God. Create in me such a clean heart, O God. This is, none but the pure are capable of seeing God. None but the pure are capable of seeing God, nor would heaven be happiness to the impure. Whew. Nor would heaven even be happiness to the impure. As God cannot endure to look upon their iniquity, so they cannot look upon his purity. The matter of the heart is the heart of the matter. Often today it is the church that is unmerciful sometimes, but the master, the king, he is ever willing to receive us when we come to him. As Pastor said the other day, the Lord searches the heart. He himself filled the law. Here's a little bit of background. See, when the Jews referred to the law, they meant either the Ten Commandments or the first five books of the Old Testament. We're talking about the Beatitudes here. We're talking about this is a time when Jesus is talking about this is how my disciples, my kingdom, this is how they're going to act or behave, their characteristics. I'm the king. This is how you are. This is how I am. This is how you need to be. Because at this time, this is what they did. See, when the Jews referred to the law, they meant either the Ten Commandments or the first five books of the Old Testament, or by referring to the law and the prophets, they meant the whole of the Old Testament scripture, or they meant the oral law. The oral and the scribal law was the most common in Jesus' day. Jesus cut through the traditions and legalistic interpretations and disclosed the broad principles of the law from which he interpreted its basic intent. The intent was not to focus on the righteousness of the law, but the need for the righteousness with God. Paul says that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. That's Romans 10:4. He said, he does not say that Christ is the end of the law, as is often misquoted, for the law still serves us to show our sin. You know, one of the things that I talk about often is with children. You know, teaching your children to honor their father and their mother is so important to their Christian walk when they become adults. It's so imperative that men and fathers and mothers teach the pattern and the principle of honor. Because what it's going to do is that later it's going to manifest itself to them when they can't honor men. Because honor yourselves one another. Humble yourselves before one another. Out of what? Out of reverence for Christ. Because if I'm bigger and tougher and smarter and better than you, I'll never humble myself before you. And then what it leads to is sin, anger, division, pettiness. And guess what? When we get together and we hold hands and we pray, we ain't agreeing. There ain't no power there. Power is in agreement, pure hearts. Me willing to humble myself before you. You being willing to honor me. Because if you do not honor a man that you can see, you're never going to honor a God that you can't. See, these Ten Commandments are important patterns and principles that teach us behaviors that it says it right here really well. It helps us. It serves to show us our sin, our sinfulness, and the need for our Savior. Romans 7, but the law is no more than a pointer, a reminder of our need for righteousness of God. To answer this need, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. He is the end to which the law pointed. Sanctification must never be forgotten. Sanctification must never be forgotten or laid, and this is important too, laid over by justification. If you don't know the difference in those two things, learn them, because they're important. It is not by personal holiness that one enters heaven. There's nothing that I can do, and I think we're all clear on this. I can't go to King Leo and say, hey, here's a few bucks, can I get into heaven? Ain't gonna work that way. History is a beautiful thing. Martin Luther in the 95 theses that he slammed on the door of the Roman Catholic Church changed everything that you and I know about Christ now. You know why? Because that Bible is written in English that you and I might know God. It changed everything because people used to have to buy their way to heaven. You know, there's still people who are trying to do that. It's a mess. But see, we serve in a church, but do we go make disciples and teach them the truth? Purify my heart. That I can do your will. Sanctification must never be forgotten or laid over by justification. It is not by personal holiness that one enters heaven. Yet without holiness, shall no man see God. That's Charles Spurgeon. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. Have this attitude. Be pure. How? 5 more minutes. 1. Got to do it. We got to do it. We got to do it, church. Put off old sinful self. We cannot be holy while chasing after our own sinful desires. The Apostle Peter offers these instructions. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But he who called you is holy. He who called you is holy. He who called you is holy. You also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. 1 Peter 1:14-16. Turn from your sinful ways may not be easy. In fact, it probably won't be. The Greek word for for pure is katharos, defined clean or pure, as in purified by fire. Or like a vine cleansed by pruning and so fitted to bear fruit. Phase one is a literal separating and cutting away the pieces of your life which do not honor God. It seems impossible. God, I'm so dirty. I'm so addicted to this world. I'm so addicted to the things in my life. I'm so fearful that if this job that consumes everything about me, purify my heart, help me trust you. Cut the stuff out that don't belong here. I'm ready to do your will. Put on everything offered from a holy life of Christ. Once cleansed, we can receive the gifts of a new life in Christ, which comes through abiding in and obeying God's word. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, that is not easy. It's hard to love you guys. Rest of y'all all right. It's hard to have brotherly love. It's true. But see, that's how they know we're the disciples, right? That's what John says. And in 15:30, he says, you know what? There's no greater love than this. A man who'd lay down his life for his friends. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. When you look at the face of a baby, just born, see, I have 4 children. They're nasty, weird-looking creatures when they come out. But what is it about we look at that and go, we weep. It's pure. It's holy. Having purified your souls by obedience to the truth for sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, thank you, Jesus. It's great to see 5 men up here, 2, 3 men and 2 boys this past Sunday. Tell the life, I belong to Jesus now for the remainder of my days I walk. I belong to the King of Kings. Not perishable seed, but imperishable through the living and the abiding word of God. So what are the gifts of a holy life in Christ? Garments of salvation and a robe of righteousness. The fruit of the Spirit. This is in Galatians 5:22-23. It's the most beautiful thing in the world. How do you know somebody's a Christian? Look for fruit, man. Jesus says you're going to know them by their fruit. And then he goes on to explain fruit of the Spirit, what that looks like. We live life by the Spirit. Here's the fruit. Here's what it looks like. You want to know? Look at that. We don't have to wonder. He never leaves us wondering. He has all the answers. Sanctification is more like a cycle than a two-step process. We must constantly put off sin and put on holiness. That is not easy, but it is possible. For God is always working to shape us into the image of Christ. And I am certain that God, who began the good... See, this is the reassuring part. This is some good news right here. Check this out. Doesn't mean I'm going to have recliner faith, but it does give me some hope to know that even when I'm failing, he's still moving. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. Philippians 1:6. Notice Paul, and here's where I close. On time. No, I think so. Notice Paul says the work being done within us is God's work. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Whew! That's good news. Notice Paul that says the work being done with us is God's work. We cannot become holy on our own. Church folk like us know that. Other people don't. We got a job to do. Amen? We got to love to tell that story. Guess what? You ain't perfect. Your garage is a mess. Praise be to God. He's ready to start a work. You ready to come with me? I'll be right here loving you all the way through it, Eric. I don't care how dirty you are, because he don't know. He knows. Our heart is to seek after God, and then God will do the purifying work in our heart. Praise the Lord. Amen.